meeting and have the County of San Luis Obispo come up and begin their presentation.
We're going to need this stuff for public comment at some point. Whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to present the County of San Luis Obispo Stormwater Management Program to you today. I'm Jill Falcone.
Is your microphone out?
Yeah, I guess I better. I'm Jill Falcone, the County Stormwater Pollution Prevention Coordinator, and I'm here with my boss, Mark Hutchinson, the Environmental Programs Division Manager for the County Department of Public Works. Mark and I will be teaming up today to present the swamp to you and to answer questions that you may have. And I have the list of questions that you asked earlier, and I'm going to try very hard to remember to fit them in as we go through the presentation. The swamp is urgently needed in San Luis Obispo County. The swamp will provide dramatic improvement to not only county operations, but will help protect and improve water quality. And it's urgently needed now. Urban runoff is a leading cause of water pollution across not only California, the United States, and the entire developed world, but also here in small San Luis Obispo County. Pollutants from urban runoff contaminate our creeks, rivers, lakes, estuaries, and the ocean. Our beneficial uses of our water resources and our wildlife are impacted by stormwater runoff pollution. There's an urgent need to address stormwater runoff pollution now before it's too late. We urge your board to approve our swamp today to enable us to move full speed ahead on full implementation. We believe that further delay does not serve water quality well. Every day that passes without the swamp fully implemented is an opportunity that's lost to protect and improve water quality here in Slo County. Today we will show you how our stormwater management program has been designed to meet specific water quality needs here in Slo County, not Monterey County or LA County or any other coastal county here in California, but specifically the stormwater program focuses on specific local water quality conditions and needs here in Slo County. We will show you how our stormwater management program will reduce the discharge of pollutants to the maximum extent practicable, how this swamp meets and exceeds the current Phase 2 general permit requirements for all six minimum control measures, how the BMPs address urban pollutants and local pollutants of concern, and how it employs all technical and economically feasible BMPs that are not more effectively covered by other BMPs. I believe you'll also see the logical progression over the next 5 years and how this swamp makes sense on how it will be implemented to achieve MEP. One swamp does not meet all, does not fit all counties and cities. This swamp was specifically designed for Slo County. And we'll take a quick look at the key demographics and water quality conditions for Slo County compared with 9 coastal counties south of San Francisco. And the demographics and water quality conditions specific to the Slo County communities in the permit coverage areas. The intent of the Phase 2 stormwater regulation was for the MS4s to design their stormwater programs to meet specific local quality water quality needs. Truly, no one swamp will fit all cities and counties in California. For those of you who may not reside here, welcome to our beautiful county. Slo County is blessed with spectacular environmental resources, including areas like Morro Bay, the Monterey Sanctuary, Montano de Oro, Crizzle Plains, Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes, Wetland Complex, and many Oakland woodlands, and of course, Cambria's Monterey Pine Forest. Here in Slo County, we have 53 special status plant and animal species, just to name a few of our incredible environmental resources. It's very important to note from this land use map here that Slo County is primarily a rural agricultural county, nearly 1.3 million acres. That is over 61% of the land area of the county is designated for agricultural land use, which you see as green here. The coral color is rural lands, and you'll see a lot of open space. There are small scattered urban areas that are the gray areas, and very, very little industrial activity in Slo County. The economy is pretty much based on tourism and agriculture. Because Slo County has been relatively slow to development, again, relative to the ultra-urban areas to our north and south, our stormwater program places a strong emphasis on prevention. We still have an excellent chance here in Slo County to save our water bodies. The coverage areas designated by US EPA and the Water Board are shown here in gray and orange. You notice that urbanization has largely occurred around the 101 corridor, and we see some coastal areas that have been designated. The gray areas are the incorporated city areas, and those all the cities will have their own stormwater management programs. The orange areas are the unincorporated areas that fall within our stormwater coverage area. Key to note here, the Slo County swamp is not a regional swamp like the Monterey County swamp is. Again, each of our cities has their own stormwater management program. Just a very brief comparison of nine coastal counties south of San Francisco. The yellow shaded areas are the phase twos, and the purple is our phase one MS4s. And at the top of the list, you'll see Slo County with the lowest population of all, in fact, quite dramatically lower than some of the other counties that our swamp is compared to. The lowest population density by several orders of magnitude in many of these other counties. And the permit coverage areas, you can see ours, again, is dramatically lower than even the other phase two communities. Our county is quite a bit different, so when you look at rates of growth, even though it might be 13% growth or so over 10 years, the absolute number of people, when it's a percent of a small number, is much fewer than the other counties except for Santa Cruz. Another key thing to consider as far as comparing stormwater management programs from one area to the next, Santa Cruz County and Slo County have no ASBS designations, whereas Monterey has five. Okay, beach water quality, Heal the Bay reports excellent beach water quality for San Luis Obispo County. You can see that we tie with about San Mateo at about 95% of our beach monitoring at a grade level A. And you can compare that to the larger, more ultra-urban areas and see degradation, for example, in Los Angeles at 47%. So the purpose of kind of showing you the differences between ultra-urban, urban, and rural counties is to kind of illustrate the point that our swamp needs to be specific to the needs that we have here in Slo County. Just briefly kind of illustrates the chart a little bit in that when you look at those coastal counties in the south, only San Luis Obispo County shows the lowest population density. Right there. And again, the changes of population, Slo County, again, the only one of these coastal counties that shows the lowest rate of growth.
Looks like this is the county to move to then, right?
Okay, so now I'd like to take you on a very quick tour of the towns and villages that are covered in our permit coverage area. And as you'll soon see, each community has its own special character and needs. This chart shows the towns and villages, and take a look at some of these populations. We start out here with the smallest one, Garden Farms, with a population of about 300, Margarita at about 1,300, going all the way down to our biggest, most urbanized areas in the permit coverage area, being Baywood, Los Osos, at about 14,000. Now, keep in mind, we're kind of used to thinking about big urbanized areas that have a lot of stormwater infrastructure, a lot of curb and gutter, a lot of storm drains. And our swamp is a little bit different in that many of our coverage area, there are no storm drains at all. In fact, many of the roads aren't paved. So when you talk about classical municipal operations like street sweeping, that may not be the best BMP for some of these communities. In fact, it wouldn't be feasible or even desirable to do that. We do in some of the areas that are growing a little bit.
Why is that?
Because it stir up the dirt. You don't want to.
Oh, dirt. Okay.
Yeah. Dirt roads. Yeah. And then roads without curb and gutter too. You can't trap the litter. Some of the areas that are getting a little bit of curb and gutter and some storm drains, but in no areas are there complete infrastructure like you would see in a incorporated city. These are the receiving water bodies for these towns and villages, and many of them have not shown any impairment at this point in time. There are some that are on the Clean Water Act 303D list, and you can see the main pollutants of concern here are the fecal coliforms and sediment, and nitrates or nutrients are the most commonly seen things, pollutants here. And we do have several TMDLs that have been developed for these water bodies. This shows the coverage area and its relationship more with the cities. And our coverage area is bounded by the urban and village reserve lines. Just very briefly, for those of you who aren't familiar with our towns, Cambria, small town. The yellow is land use, again, residential. Virtually no industrial activity, but big target area for commercial, restaurants, and tourism. Baywood, Los Osos, again, residential, suburban, and residential land uses, open space, some commercial in the kind of heart of the town, and those are things like restaurants and some car repair and things like that would work, no industrial. Oceano, you see some industrial gray area there. That is the county's airport, and that's covered under the Phase 1 MPDES permit. Oceano does not drain to the ocean. It drains to lagoons and to Arroyo Grande Creek. Santa Margarita is a delightful town, very small, 1,300 people or so. Again, the yellow is residential. The tan is suburban residential. You see the railroad going through town, that's industrial, and then you see in the red some commercial areas. In fact, these pictures are actually the commercial area. There's a couple of restaurants and maybe an antique shop or so. And then there is, in industrial operation, a bottling plant. Garden Farms is a village, suburban residential, a little bit of shopping in the commercial red area that you see there. No infrastructure, no storm drains, no curb and gutter. And Templeton, Again, this area may be growing a little faster because it's along the 101 corridor, but suburban residential, small amount of commercial. Napomo is bounded by agricultural lands, mostly suburban residential and residential. In the old time town area, you'll see red commercial activity. So hopefully that gives you kind of a feel for our area and what kinds of BMPs will be most effective here. When we selected our BMPs, we used many, many different sources. Some of the key ones are the US EPA's menu of BMPs, the model urban runoff plan. We used NRDC's practical plan extensively, and in some cases you'll see where we've pretty much word for word adopted it. We used our public comment letters, and we studied the other county stormwater management programs as well. So in reviewing the types of BMPs we want to use in our coverage areas, we looked at are there other BMPs that work better than others, and if there's no point of duplicating things if some work better than others, and then, of course, looking at its technical and economic feasibility. The swamp has evolved dramatically over time. I brought today to show you the very first swamp, skinny, 74 pages and 34 BMPs. It actually was kind of easy to use. You could find stuff in it. Version 2 from 2004 is 251 pages, a little bit thicker, weighs a little bit more, 38 BMPs, and then version 3, that one's a little more heavy, quite a bit heavier, and again, 71 BMPs. So we've really focused on trying to make this the best stormwater management program in the region, and I think that you'll see that our approach, because we are a rural county, is quite a bit different than you're going to see from the alternate urban areas. But very, very preventive, because, again, that's our stage of development now. We do have a chance to prevent problems now. Moving on, then, to the minimum control measures found in the stormwater management program. I'll talk about some of the big picture things, kind of the areas of special concern, emphasis that we place, to give you kind of a feeling to see how all this fits together. The swamp has so many details, it's very hard to read it and stay awake. And so hopefully I can give you a picture of the feeling of what the big picture is and how what we're trying to accomplish, and then talk a little bit more about the details. Very, very key to the effectiveness of public education and outreach is to achieve behavioral change. Public education outreach is more than just passing out brochures. Sorry, turned it off. To be meaningful, the target audiences, we have to reach out to those target audiences with a specific message that will cause a specific change that will prevent pollution. And this swamp has incorporated this type of approach to public education and outreach. It's a fairly new approach. And trying to find ways then to measure are behaviors changed. And right now, to measure outcomes from public education and outreach, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to correlate that to a direct water quality measurement. Rather, it's the behavioral change that you're going to be able to measure with this. So we target our audiences and our messages. And we work together with the other agencies here in the county and with our community partnerships with our non-governmental organizations. And then you'll see a big emphasis on marine plastic debris, that is our anti-litter program, and sea otter protection. The ideas here with public education and outreach is that the educator needs to design their education program so that the target audience will go through these seven doors of social marketing. So it's not just gaining the knowledge from public education and outreach, but it's actually incorporating it into their thinking and then taking steps then that will lead to the changed behavior, hopefully permanently. Our first BMP is our collaborative regional partnership, the Slo County Partners for Water Quality. It's a coalition of 14 agencies, the county and all of the seven cities, some of the CSDs, Caltrans, and Cal Poly. It's really working out very, very nicely. We work together, sharing our resources and reaching out to the broadest possible audience across the county. We have also a very extensive interested parties list, too, so our information gets spread quite broadly. The public education outreach opinion surveys will be designed to measure public awareness of the stormwater problem here in Slo County. You know, it doesn't rain here very much, and our water bodies are pretty clean. Stormwater pollution isn't in your face, so to speak, as it would be in Los Angeles. So many people are certainly not aware of how big the problem really is. So the public education and outreach program of the stormwater management program is essential to getting that foundation out there, getting the awareness up that then will lead to pollution prevention at the source, and that due to behavioral changes. These are very ambitious goals. A 20% response rate is very high. Year one's the baseline, and we do it again in years 3 and 5 to see if our program's working. And committing or hoping to achieve a 50% increase in awareness over the permit term. It might sound easy, but not so. We use television and radio, public service announcements. If you watch the news in the evening hours on the local channels, you might actually see Sammy the Steelhead. We can reach 180,000 individuals in the county through television on the local channels. Our radio public service announcements can reach up to 60,000 individuals in the county. So this, TV and radio, we find to be our broadest coverage as far as getting the message out. Sammy focuses now on behavioral changes and talking to people about stopping illegal dumping, how to pick up after Fido, not to wash their car in the driveway, things like that. Here's some clips out of some of his films. They're quite famous here in Slo County, and you can see how he's talking about litter there in the middle, fast food waste, car washing, sweeping your driveway instead of hosing them down, maintaining your car so you're not leaking oil all over the place. Sammy the Steelhead is fairly well-recognized here in Slo County. Here he is with his family. He's our stormwater prevention, pollution prevention expert here, and he goes out into to public events, and he's sends our message to get the public involved in you are the solution to stormwater pollution, and that's the message to encourage people to take those steps to prevent stormwater runoff pollution. Because there's 25 BMPs here, I won't be able to go through all of them in any much detail, so I've lumped a lot of them together. So educational materials that we're sending to target audiences, defining the target audiences, we use the practical plan here, and I've included virtually every target audience that was included there. Residential, commercial, industrial, construction and development, quasi-governmental, preschool, school age, college students, government employees, and tourists. It's very comprehensive. Key topics, people have to understand why it's important and distinguish between the storm sewer and the sanitary sewer systems. Believe it or not, still people that don't know that difference. And the requirement is to focus on the target audience's role in stormwater pollution prevention and what specifically they can do, what actions they can take. We've adopted a very extensive and comprehensive topic list that's listed in the BMPs. Every item that was listed in the practical plan has been included. Our website's very important. The stormwater management program has been on the web since 1994, and as our program goes on, more and more we'll make available more information. Another key element of public education outreach is public presentations, events, and displays. We do quite a lot of these. Sammy the Steelhead gets out there. That picture is San Luis Obispo Creek Day. But very active in Coast and Creek cleanups, watershed festivals, home and garden shows, various community meetings and workshops, displays, and watershed stewardship events. I'll talk a little bit more later. And I'd really like to publicize at this point in time that our major regional water quality and water conservation event is coming up called Waterfest, and that is in May this year. These activities are accomplished through our partnerships with the Slo County Partners for Water Quality and our non-governmental organizations.
In your annual report, will you be keeping track of how many of those events and reporting them in the report?
Yes, and we will try to quantitate the number of attendees also.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. This one, I think you had some questions about, so I'm going to take a little bit more time on this one. The pet waste management and responsible pet care BMP is very, very important for sea otter protection. Haiti de Brits has come to Morro Bay and presented her research on the problem of sea otter mortality due to toxoplasmosis. And she did quite a bit of work in surveying cat owners in Morro Bay. So she's quantitated the number of cats that actually live in Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas. And she has traced the problem back to cat feces and potentially also opossums as well. She has published research papers that we have available and that we've been using extensively. I contacted her to try to find out what BMPs would be most appropriate based on the knowledge that we have now. And what she told me was that getting control of the feral cat population is a very important thing to get accomplished. Things that are simple that you would think, well, don't people know about how to dispose of their kitty litter? Well, in reality, people have been told in the past to flush their kitty litter down the toilet. That is not now known to be a very bad thing to do because whether it's septic or wastewater, the cysts don't seem to die from that wastewater treatment. So we now, our major effort will be to inform people to take their kitty litter and make sure they put it in the solid waste, the trash, and not flush it down the toilet. Some other things, too, is our pet food containment. When people leave their pet food outside, opossums attracts opossums, and those populations get pretty high in the urban areas. Key things with cats. You know, it's hard to get a handle on cats. Cats are cats. But one thing that Haiti suggested was that to talk with cat owners about keeping their cats inside more. So trying to keep the feral cat populations down through capture, neuter, and release programs, getting control of keeping pet food under some control, and getting the information out as broadly as we possibly can. Now, UC Davis is also currently doing research on the problem of sea otter mortality, and what they're looking at is the actual transport of the pollutant, or the toxoplasmosis cysts. And so far, we don't have the results of those research yet. That will certainly give us an idea if there are better BMPs out there. But right now, urgently, I think this is probably the best possible that we would be capable of doing now, is getting control of cat feces as best we can. Our public education outreach program is different than maybe anyone else's, in that it employs community-based social marketing. Some approaches are a little bit different, maybe a little bit experimental. Sammy's Kids Club, to engage children in sustainable living type activities through a fan club with Mr. Steelhead. Youth patch programs, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, 4-H, FFA, and clean water type activities that would incentivize them as they're growing up to live more sustainably. Also, key to getting people to change behaviors is for them to see the benefit to them, not only for the environment, their pollution prevention, but also how they can save money and how it can be convenient for them. So we'll target opportunities to communicate opportunities to capitalize on that. To actually recognize clean business clean green business type opportunities and certification of restaurants that operate in appropriate manners. The green building program the county has is very, very nice. And, of course, low-impact development and smart growth are major social marketing type initiatives that are active in the county right now. The bottom line is to get people to be aware of what their ecological footprint is and how their behaviors in everyday common activities can impact cumulatively. When you look at 260,000 people or so, every little thing can add up to a benefit for water quality here in Slo County. The public participation involvement minimum control measures overlap quite a bit with public education and outreach. And that makes sense because we want to educate the public, but we also want to engage them in the program itself. So key areas, BMPs for us, are public workshops, stakeholder meetings, our interested parties list, and I think the most valuable of them all is to engage people in stewardship activities in the watersheds themselves. We're very lucky here in Slo County in that we have great partnerships. This is the poster from last year's Creek Day. It was amazingly successful. 9 creeks were involved. And down at the bottom, you can see the number of partners that were involved in all of this. So this was all coordinated and very, very highly successful. And you can really see the value of partnerships in getting this kind of impact across the county. In addition, the Board of Supervisors proclaimed September 30th to be Creek Day. So Creek Day is a big deal here in Slo County.
Was that your first Creek Day?
No, they've been going on for a long time. This was the first time they were all coordinated to be at the same time.
And are you keeping track of the amount of trash?
Yes.
That you're removing by pounds?
Yes.
And what have you seen just with the Creek Days you've had so far? Any trend?
Relative, over the last few years, we were noticing that the volunteer level had been declining, and that was a concern to us. And so in the case of last year, we really did a lot of publicity to get the volunteers out. And so the number of volunteers and the amount of trash or debris that it's kind of correlated. Mm. The other thing, too, that was interesting last year is some of the creeks were not dirty. That's good news.
Mm-hmm. So do you know offhand how much trash was removed?
I don't remember it, but there are people here that do know it. I can, if we have a break, I can probably.
So there really is no trend because the amount of volunteers dropped off, and the two are correlated.
Yeah, and so, too, the creeks are cleaner in some cases too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another stewardship volunteer activity that's very key here is our storm drain marking program. This is a volunteer working down in Napomo. And this is kind of important, too, from a philosophical point of view, in that we could send our public works workers out and just blast through all the storm drains really quick. But the value of the program isn't that we're marking the storm drains. It's really engaging the public, involving them in stewardship activities that has much more of an impact than if we were to do it ourselves. We also have the Adopt a Road and Drain programs and several other stewardship activities too that will be part of this. Okay, I could stop here if there are any questions on public education or public participation before we go on to illicit discharge.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I'm just curious, Jill, because I live in this county, and I'm here, fortunately, and I've seen so much of the water quality partners notices being sent out. But how will you be integrating, since the areas that you're going to be covering under this program are so kind of geographically disconnected, I mean, how will you be integrating so that there's some consistency as you're moving through, your years, 1, 2, and 3 efforts in terms of implementing that? Because I know those areas, if they don't have a CSD, I think some of them don't. What's your focal point, and then what's the source of money? Is the county paying for all the public outreach, or how will that work?
In some cases, we partner with the CSDs. In the case where there is no CSD, then we cover the whole thing. Creek Day, for example, last year in Santa Margarita, we teamed up with the citizens themselves, and it worked very, very nicely. One of the strong benefits of working with the SLO County Partners for Water Quality is that we are sending the same message across the entire county. We share the same materials. And so we share Sammy the Steelhead. So it's less likely that we're going to be confusing people with conflicting messages. Okay, now I'd like to turn it over to Mark Hutchinson for a discussion of illicit discharge detection and elimination.
Thank you, Jill. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I am Mark Hutchinson. My job title is Environmental Programs Manager for the San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our illicit discharge program and also some construction site runoff controls. I do have to preface my remarks by stating that I do like Sammy the Steelhead, and I do see the value in public education, and as you'll see, education is a key component of both illicit discharge and construction runoff. But I'm a strong believer that at some point, as we all know, a program has to have something more behind it. I like to say that Sammy the Steelhead does have teeth, big, sharp teeth. Also like to let you know that I am heading up the technical team that is currently drafting the county's illicit discharge ordinance. I have representatives from the county district attorney's office, county council, our code enforcement people, fish and game, and also our environmental health inspectors. That work is ongoing, and we'll talk a little bit about that as I move along. The stormwater management program has a very strong emphasis on illicit discharge. 24% of our year one expenditures are designated into this part of the program. We'll be looking at storm sewer mapping, storm drain inspections, septic system inspections, sanitary sewer spill and overflow prevention, and citizen reporting efforts. when you boil it all down, it comes down to the big three: education, as I mentioned, but also inspection and enforcement. These are all essential parts of our IDE program. It is critical that we educate everyone about illicit discharges, and you've seen how the public education program is directed towards that. We will also employ many different inspection modalities to further detect illicit discharges. Because we will educate virtually everyone to be aware that we will allow only rain down the drain, we anticipate that any illicit flows will soon be spotted, identified as a problem, and quickly eliminated. We expect to have many eyes on the storm drain system, everything from food health inspectors to public works to members of the public. But after identification, effective enforcement is also key. We do have a great network already in place for interagency collaboration in this effort. Jill and I attend meetings on a monthly basis with a group called the San Luis Obispo County Environmental Enforcement Group, which is composed of all of the environmental enforcement agencies at the federal, state, and local levels that work in San Luis Obispo County. Chaired by our San Luis Obispo County District Attorney, we have representatives from EPA Region 9, your regional board staff attends, Fish and Game staff attends, the U.S. attorneys from Los Angeles also attend. We're able, within that group, to coordinate and collaborate enforcement efforts across the board. And I can tell you that group is very anxious to see our illicit discharge detection elimination ordinance come online so that the county begin picking up a major portion of these discharges that we're seeing in our county. To give you a recent example, we began receiving reports of all things mobile pet washing companies discharging their wash water into storm drains. We're able to quickly coordinate with our coalition and also through the EEG group. We couldn't identify a particular company, but as Jill pointed out, we're a relatively small company or county. We were able to identify all of the companies that provide this service, modify our public education information specific to their jobs, and put it in their hands. So they've already been put on notice that the practice of discharging the dog wash water into the nearest storm drain is not a good practice and one that will not be allowed. So let's look at some BMPs. The county's new ordinance will provide the means to enforce prohibitions against non-stormwater discharges. All discharges, other than rain itself, will be prohibited by this ordinance. Only rain down the drain will be a powerful message in San Luis Obispo County. The ordinance will address all of the non-stormwater discharges listed in the general permit, including things like overwatering, car washing, swimming pool discharge, among others. The ordinance is designed to provide a progressive system of enforcement, and violations will be tracked and analyzed. County storm sewer GIS map will identify the location of our storm sewer features and all the outfalls to water bodies. Storm sewer map facilitates our ability to track sources of pollutants and will provide a database to manage our storm drain cleaning, maintenance, and repair activities. The GIS maps have already been completed for the communities of Santa Margarita, Garden Farms, Napomo, and Oceano. Templeton and the San Luis Obispo Urban Fringe will be completed within the next several months, and we have a jump start on Los Osos. This means that we're well ahead of schedule on the mapping effort. This is an example of how the storm sewer GIS system will work. What you're looking at is an area in the town of Santa Margarita. As Jill mentioned, the storm sewer system is not extensive, but we can see the culverts and ditches that are part of the MS4 along with the outfalls into Yerba Buena Creek. We can also double-click on a storm sewer feature to view a photograph of that feature and link other elements to the GIS map. For instance, this is a photo of a culvert outlet into a roadside channel in Santa Margarita, the one in the map that we just saw. One valuable source of illicit discharge detection is citizen reports. Reports will come into our hotline and then be sent to the appropriate investigating and enforcement agency. By the way, the hotline is currently active. Reports are maintained in a database to enable tracking, trending, and evaluation of BMP effectiveness. We continue to learn a great deal from citizen reporting. It gives us a more accurate idea of what's really happening outside of the office. This information can then be tied back into our public education and outreach program or other parts of the stormwater program as necessary.
And explain to me how you would then handle calls that might come into, say, Public Works generally. I mean, is county staff being educated that there's a process to funnel complaint calls into the system for processing?
Yes. Not only Public Works staff, but other departments within the county. The hotline itself is maintained in our County Environmental Health Division, although our stormwater coordinator also gets almost instant reports on that. We train all of our Public Works field crews, whether they work in roads or utilities, on an ongoing basis. That's part of my responsibility as the environmental manager, to discuss not only stormwater, but all of the other environmental issues that are pertinent to our operations. Being in some ways a relatively small organization, we can move information across the building very quickly. I doubt there's anyone in the courthouse who does not know who Jill Falcone is and where she sits, so we can get this information rapidly. And because of the coalition and the EEG, we're extending that connection to the other agencies as well. This is, again, I said I like Sammy, so he's in my presentation. This is one of the ways that the hotline is being promoted at public meetings. What you're seeing is the front and back of a card, a laminated card that we hand out at the public meetings. And we've already seen an increase in citizen reports since these double-sided Sammy the Steelhead cards have been distributed at public events, and also in response to our TV and radio commercials. Every storm drain in the county will be inspected at least 2 times per year. There's a question about how we know we can do that. How do we know we have the ability to do that? Turns out that on the one hand, we're not a large county, and as you saw from our mapping, in many communities we don't have extensive underground systems, so we have less of a system-wide mileage to manage in this area. It also turns out that our Public Works road crews already have a mandate to inspect storm drains twice a year. The perspective on that was due to some of our citizens believe that flooding in their communities is due to the condition of the storm drain system. It's not really tied to that, but in a response to the community several years ago, we instituted an inspection program of all storm drains to make sure that they're capable of carrying their full amount. So the challenge for us is fairly simple. We'll train our road crews on what to look for in illicit discharges, how to report them. Some of them already, how should I say this, are being rather aggressive with that. So we've had to step in a more friendly mode until we have the ordinance on board and speak to some adjacent landowners about their discharges. But it's good to see that our road crews take ownership of these facilities, and as we train them, we'll understand more and more about why illicit discharges are a problem and how we can go about eliminating them. Our inspectors will have a formal checklist that they will use as they visually check each storm drain. Using the GIS system, we can then record which storm drain were inspected, what the results were. All of these, because we're a public works organization, everything has its own separate number. And the GIS system is actually linked now to our county budget management system, so we can bring everything together in a single report. We believe that dry weather discharges, which are a serious problem in our county, will be easy to locate and trace, since the ordinance will not allow any of those to occur, so there'll be no confusion about whether a discharge is legal or not legal. The potential for illicit cross connections and discharges into the storm sewer system will be emphasized in construction reviews for all new projects. Although this is already done as a matter of course, it will be separated out and highlighted. Building inspectors will include inspections, specific inspections for illicit discharges and cross connections into the storm sewer system as they're out on the sites for new development and redevelopment projects. We will also audit all of the county-owned systems, sanitary sewer systems, although we currently only manage and operate five within the county, and three of those are very small. But preventative and correction actions will be implemented for potential problems that might be found. We have made recent improvements to our collection systems, both in a part of Napomo and also at the County Operations Center. We will identify and map all private and publicly owned septic systems in the permit coverage area. Consistent with existing law, we'll establish inspection and monitoring criteria. We'll inspect those septic systems on a routine basis. Staff to conduct this inspections is already on board in our Department of Planning and Building, and we're ready to go as soon as the program guidelines are finalized. We intend to identify at least the top 10 littering and illegal dumping locations. We will post additional signs prohibiting littering and illegal dumping, and those signs will cite what the enforcement penalties are for dumping illegally. The county already has an excellent recycling and household hazardous waste program managed by our Integrated Waste Management Authority. So the Stormwater Management Program will continue to support and promote this program. Information about how to recycle and dispose of household hazardous waste is a key topic in the public education program. Example of one of our newer efforts is through social marketing, showing how people how they can actually save money and help protect water quality by using less toxic alternatives for household cleaning. County already has a spill protection and control procedures in place, but we don't believe we can be too vigilant, so our stormwater plan includes a BMP to update these procedures and update the employee training to provide additional protection for storm sewer systems. This BMP is also cross-referenced in our municipal operations BMP listing. Again, this BMP includes adopting and enforcing a pet waste ordinance and is also cross-referenced in public education and outreach, as we saw from Jill. This BMP emphasizes municipal operations, employee training, and public education outreach program. And Jill will talk a little more about this in our municipal operations discussion. That concludes part of my program about the illicit discharge. If there are any questions on that, I'll answer them.
Any board questions at this point? Dr. Hunter?
Just one quick one on the goal to post signs at the top 10. Is there a reason to limit, say you find that 15 or 20 turn out to be really just recurrently used as dump sites?
I think we chose 10 as the number because our experience with illegal dumping has shown us that that should include all of the sites that we're aware of. Being a rural county, we have what's called a Farm Watch program, and in the past several years, we've made a very strong effort to attack illegal dumping on the fringes of communities as well as in the rural areas. We've gone so far, actually, I can't tell you the location, but there is one gravel county road that has surveillance cameras in place. And the DA has been very good about literally digging into the trash pile and getting names and addresses off of envelopes. I'm very pleased. I did a tour just 2 weeks ago of some of the more notorious sites in the North County and was surprised that some of those sites have actually no litter whatsoever. We do have a couple hot spots that we're aware of, and we intend to go after those with vigor. But we do believe that the number 10, the top 10, for an emphasis, will handle the vast majority of this problem.
Also in the resolution, Dr. Hunter, under paragraph S, there's a change to BMP IL-8 that says the county must develop and implement a plan to address illegal dumping in all permit areas.
Any other board? Mr. Hayashi.
You know, let's go back to the your hotline a moment? Can somebody just call in anonymously? Or do you need to have a name attached with that complaint?
Actually, some of those calls are anonymous. Okay. There's no requirement for a complaint. Some of the calls that we get not only are anonymous, but a little bit vague. Mm-hmm. And that's where the network of road workers and other agency staff we can contact helps us hone in on where the problem might be, who else might be aware of it, so that we can...
If you figure you have a bona fide call that comes in, how long does it take to get it to the department or to where it needs to go to have it checked?
Well, it comes directly into environmental health. They monitor that line, so it would come to us within one workday.
Okay.
And then depending on the threat that it poses would guide how fast we're able to drop everything else and jump on that call.
I think, Chairman Young, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we have a hotline situation somewhere in the region where they said they'd get a hotline call and they'd respond to it within 3 days or something like that? It was an extended period of time as opposed to one working day. I think one working day is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I don't remember right off.
Remember, because was it in Santa Barbara, Goleta, where they were dumping on the side of the road and they reported it in and they said they would 48 hours
you
or...
Mean the issue that I saw?
Yeah. Remember that? Then the reporting... They called it
well,
in. That
was a jurisdictional
problem. Oh, is that what it
problem,
was? Okay.
More than a kind of a timing.
Okay.
But it sounds like they have something in place that's going to.
Yeah. I think that same day is about as good a response time as you can get. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board questions, comments? Okay. You've got about 11 minutes left on the hour.
So.
You asked for an hour, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see how fast.
And I've been stopping the clock, by the way, as we've been asking you questions so that we weren't cutting into that.
Let's quickly move through construction site runoff control. Which is the next one? It includes education, ordinance, inspection, enforcement, citizen reporting data, feedback loop to education, inspection, and enforcement. We will be revising all of our construction county ordinances to include all of the general permit requirements. The resolution moves the time frame for those up. We've checked with the departments that are responsible for that, and they tell me they can comply, so we're in full agreement with that. We'll be moving those up. I'll very quickly skip through these. I want to address the question about the 1 acre and under. County ordinances already contain sedimentation and erosion control requirements. Those will not go away. We do have the county divided within inland and coastal areas, and as you can imagine, we work closely with the Coastal Commission on our coastal ordinances. We're currently working to bring coastal and inland to match better. The bottom line to that is, even though sites over 1 acre don't show up in the state's listing of areas of concern, they are not unregulated. So the same kinds of policies and requirements will apply to sites under 1 acre. They're simply not included in the permit, I suppose. But they are regulated by county, and we work closely with Coastal Commission to make sure those are effective policies and ordinances. I'll also add that the county ordinances relative to grading are contained within the county general plan. So they're very strong, and they're very connected to land use ordinances. And the issues about public review are handled by the fact that the noticing requirements for general plan changes are quite extensive. So none of these will go by the public without adequate opportunity to participate. Plan reviews are part and parcel with the ordinance requirements. Construction site inspections. We note that the draft statewide general construction permit contains what we believe is an excellent way of determining how often you should inspect construction sites, and so it's our intent to include that in our ordinances and policies. And I won't go through the details, but the frequency is based on the risk to water quality, and we believe that's the right way to go with that. I should mention that on some sites, those that the county itself is building, we use the same policies. An example I can give you, we're initiating a bridge project on San Luis Creek at San Luis Bay Drive. Construction inspections there are actually daily. We'll have an inspector on site during all activities because of the sensitivity of the stream that we're working next to. There's a public education and outreach component, not only the community, but to construction folks as well. We work very closely with CASCA using their materials to develop not only our BMP manuals, but also our public education information. We'll be training county staff. That's already begun. They've been attending sessions both at the regional board and outside vendors. We have the hotline and on to post-construction.
Chairman Young, I have the answer to one of your questions if you want to stop the clock. Thank you.
Go ahead.
One of my very valued partners that is here today brought me the data from last year's Creek Day cleanup. And we had 450 volunteers. 2.17 tons of materials were removed, and that represented an 800% increase in tonnage. Mm.
That was
great partners.
2006?
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to breeze through post-construction stormwater management. As you see, again, the big three, educate, inspect, and enforce, are really what drives this as well as IDDE and construction. Post-construction stormwater management is clearly the most important single thing we can do here in San Luis Obispo County. That's why we've allocated more than 30% of our resources there, and we've applied, in addition to that, applied for grant funds so that we can really get low-impact development implemented here in San Luis Obispo County. Again, it's the key thing. As our rural watersheds are urbanizing, it's very key that we don't create the problems that you see in the urbanized area with impervious surfaces now. Okay, so key thing, get some ordinances in place to require it. And here we will require all general permit requirements for post-construction stormwater management. We are attachment 4, and so all of those design standards will be included word for word. You can be assured it will be in those ordinances. The ordinance will include enforcement penalties and will be tracked. To get up front of projects, we are going to revise our CEQA initial study checklist to make sure that we get better site design earlier on in the process. And we're going to ensure that we have long-term maintenance taken care of during the initial development plan cycle. Okay, inspections are key here. And ensuring that the long-term maintenance that's supposed to be occurring is occurring. We find that frequently it is not, and so there's a lot of catch-up work to do here. Okay, we're going to adopt a LID design standards manual. This is critical. We will use things like regional board staff's BMP selection tool that will help us quite a bit in helping people understand what LID BMPs will work best specific to their site. Public education outreach is included with all permit applications, and we want to develop an incentive program to encourage early adoption of LID. We need to build capacity here in SLO County. LID's been around for a long time on the East Coast and in maybe the Pacific Northwest, but it's new here, and it's a major important initiative for us. We did receive two Prop 40 urban stormwater grants. We're very thankful to have the opportunity to apply $1.4 million towards the development of low-impact development demonstration sites. We'll not only use these for public education and outreach, but it will also help institutionalize LID because it provides for monies to apply towards our LID design standards manual and also to a review of the ordinances and our engineering standards to ensure that we can open the door to implementation of LID. Many of the ordinances now can actually hinder it. Here's beautiful Santa Margarita, schematics of the enhanced wetland, pretty novel, probably first time tried in the region, and then bioswales along the streets.
And did you have a particular reason for choosing Santa Margarita in that site? What was it?
Yes, actually, for both of these LID projects, they were selected because they were scheduled for conventional stormwater management. And so we wanted to capture it at that point in time, and they're both retrofits. So that was why there was a need for stormwater management at those particular sites, and we wanted to make sure we initiated the change now.
And were the issues related to flooding as opposed to water quality?
Well, in Templeton, it would be more water quality. And so Santa Margarita has a stormwater issue in that they have high peak discharge rates, which then that then go from the upland areas across the urban areas, which then pick up tremendous amount of pollutants from the urban surface. So flooding really causes a tremendous water quality issue. Okay, this is our Florence Street LID project in Templeton. You'll see before and after is the incorporation of narrower streets, pervious pavement for this pathways, and bioswales for filtration. Very quickly on municipal operations, these are BMPs to strive for pollution-free municipal operations. They include pretty much everything. There's nothing left out here. Very key. Employee training is very key. Street sweeping is not as important of a BMP as it would be in the ultra-urban areas. So things like the storm drain inspection and maintenance is very, very important. And that I'm very proud to say, two times a year, every storm drain in the county, huge. Also, I'm very pleased to report that our Public Works Roads people have come up with their procedures manual. It's very, very good. It's based on the California Salmonid Restoration Manual from Fish and Game and also from the five counties up north. It's very fish-friendly and very, very nice, and that will come online here very quickly. The other things are fairly routine. Stormwater pollution prevention plans for corporation yards, that prevents a lot of pollution. And then any place where we do have facilities and operations that have the potential for polluting, these BMPs should address that. Then finally, annual reporting. MEP is an ever-evolving standard, as we know. I believe our swamp is designed such that we can apply adaptive management to cause continuous improvement to occur in this stormwater program. I urge you to prove it so that we can get the plan, do, check, act cycle going so that we can get the benefits of this program immediately and allow it to evolve as it is implemented over the next 5 years. The annual report mechanism does allow for a mechanism for improvements to the stormwater management program every year. And in the case of monitoring, there's many different types of monitoring that would be going on here. One of the most key is the visual monitoring that's part of the IDDE inspection program. All non-storm discharges are illegal, when you see one, something's wrong, and you're going to be able to easily trace it back. If there's a visible pollutant or a hazardous waste or anything like that, then enforcement will be called in, and they'll sample at that time. So essentially, with the IDDE inspections, you've got a lot of eyes on those storm drains, and you're more likely to catch an illicit discharge than you would be by going into businesses when they know an inspection's coming. So I think that's a very, very valuable form of monitoring that will be going on now for us. There are a lot of very, very nice existing monitoring programs in place, volunteer monitoring programs that have been ongoing in the county. We want to enhance those and include them in areas that have not been monitored before. For example, Santa Margarita and Napomo. We're very anxious to get the citizens involved in that now, because it has multiple benefits to us, not just the data, but also the actual participation by the citizens themselves. It's a great stewardship opportunity for them to be involved in their watershed. The C-CAMP program, I think it's a fabulous program, and I would certainly like to see, urge the state to find better ways to fund it. Perhaps it could be funded partially by MPDES permitting or some other mechanism. But it would be better to have that independence, having that third party do the monitoring in a scientifically valid method in a consistent scheduled manner than probably what an MS4 at our point in development would be. Lots of data out there. I'm compiling it. I think one of the big downfalls in the monitoring data that exists now is that maybe nobody really looks at the big picture. So we are able to take a lot of the data and then hopefully it's not more data necessarily that we need in some areas, because some cases there's a lot. What we really need to do now is to translate that data into action. There's no time for delay. So in conclusion, the stormwater management program is needed now, urgently needed before it's too late. Our swamp is specific to our water quality needs here in Slo County. It meets MEP, it meets and actually exceeds the general permit requirements, and it will protect and improve water quality here in Slo County. I urge you to approve it so that we can go full speed ahead on these programs. And as we evolve over in the next annual report cycle, you'll be able to see how we're doing based on the results that we achieve in this first year. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you go back to one of your first slides that had, it was a table, and it had on the far right-hand column the pollutants of concern. That's it. Yeah, can you fill the screen with that? Okay, sediment.
Also, in the stormwater management program, there's a major water quality analysis section that evaluates the water bodies listed on the 303D list, and then also sections dealing with the existing TMDLs that we have now. Many of our activities in the stormwater management program are specifically directed at TMDL implementation.
Beginning with the Atascadero Paso Robles urban fringe line, that's the first one where we pick up any known impairments. Do you have any idea what the source or sources are of those impairments, the fecal coliform sodium and the chloride?
Yes. I don't believe there's a TMDL investigation started on these yet. In the case of Atascadero Creek, there's known major colonies of feral cats that people actually feed, and they live in the creek, actually. So that's kind of an interesting, and that's right in the urban area. In Paso Robles, the source water is pretty high in total TSS, and so sodium chloride is a little bit high in their source water from the groundwater itself. In addition, there's contributions from water softeners. So those are the most likely sources of high sodium and chloride in that part of the Salinas River.
Is there anything that you're proposing in the swamp that would address the salt impairment?
The illicit discharge ordinance would. And I
think, but if you're having a problem stemming from the use of water softeners, I mean, it's legal to use water softeners. So how do you get on top of the salt problem? I mean, you've got the vehicle is the swamp to do it. I'm just wondering if you're proposing anything that might assist you in that regard.
Let me take a shot at that. I mentioned illicit discharge ordinance because that would go to overwatering, car watering, so we were getting the potable water sources, which have the high TSS in them, keep that out of the streets. The water softeners discharge either to the sanitary sewer or to septic systems. And one of the major issues in Paso Robles is where there is a community collection system, which is actually operated by the city, treats wastewater and then discharges back into the Salinas River. So our swamp wouldn't go directly to the issue of water softeners because it's primarily through the city's area that that's being taken care of. So in the fringe area, our greatest contribution to dealing with the dissolved solids and that sort of stuff is to take care of these overwatering issues, the car washing issues, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Okay. And moving on down the list, San Luis Obispo Urban Fringe, how about the source there for fecal coliform and nitrate? Have you identified anything?
Yes, there's two TMDLs that have been approved for San Luis Obispo Creek.
Okay.
And so it's pretty well studied, the source of pathogens or fecal coliform in Slow Creek.
I don't have the TMDL at my fingertips and don't recall what's in it. Do you happen to know?
Yeah. Okay. I think where the numbers start to jump really high is at the tunnel at Mission Plaza. Mm-hmm. Downtown area. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of birds and bats and things like that that are discharging directly into the creek at that point. And, of course, urban runoff into the creek at that area.
Mm-hmm. How about Napomo?
Yes. That one is a TMDL that's in development right now, so there's still a lot of investigations going on in there. One of the more interesting sources of fecal coliform most recently identified are cases of farm workers actually defecating directly into the creek. So there are multiple sources, and the TMDL is in development now. And I don't think we're probably not at the stage yet to say what, the allocations of each one of those sources are quite yet. But combination of agricultural and residential type discharges into the creek. The creek runs right through both ag and urban areas.
And have that Baywood and Los Osos, I take it the unpaved roads would be a source for the sediment.
Yes, and again, there is an approved TMDL for Morro Bay for sedimentation, and road maintenance and road construction are indicated as sources for that sedimentation in Morro Bay.
Can you maintain?
In Morro Bay, the city of Morro Bay, the water body.
The watershed, I should actually say.
Okay.
Can you maintain a dirt road that cars are traveling over in such a way that you can reduce sediment?
Yes, very much so. We received another grant this year to reduce the sediment load on a rural road up in the North County area. And there's design and maintenance approaches that reduce the erosion and sedimentation coming from unpaved roads. Mm. The people that are expert on that are coming down here next week from Arcata, Pacific Watershed Associates, and they'll be working with us on the rural road up in North County. But those same principles apply across the county.
And the pathogens then, I guess, the source for those?
For Morro Bay? The watershed.
Los Osos, yeah.
Yeah. There is also a TMDL for pathogens for Morro Bay, and there's a very famous DNA study that looked at the sources of fecal coliform in the watershed. So, large contributions from wildlife, whether it's seagulls hanging out at the rock or. And then other contributions from human sources and cattle up in the upper watersheds and grazing
kit,
areas.
Is that the KIT study?
I'm sorry?
The KIT study?
I'm not
Dr.
sure.
Dr. KIT?
You guys, I think, sponsored it, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for indulging me for a few moments on that. Questions from the board?
Again, I'm going back to one of my ideas that I put out there. How are we addressing the curbs, gutters, and storm drainage issue. I mean, there seems to be a lack of them.
Well, actually, that's a good thing. How we will be addressing it with our new post-construction ordinances is that
okay.
We'll put new designs in place.
Let me go with that scenario. If you look at this chart, the program, okay, will prevent pollution in your smaller communities as they develop. How is it going to correct the ongoing pollution in Atascadero, Paso Robles, Los Osos, San Luis Obispo, and Napomo, where the pathogen issue is a larger concern right now? I mean, it would seem that we're solving future problems without really grappling with the existing problem.
Let me try to tackle that one. When we look at existing communities, first of all, we have to focus on illicit discharge and eliminating those so that we don't have especially dry weather flows. We're all aware that clean water discharged into a roadside channel or into a concrete storm drain in the summertime picks up various pathogens as it moved into that system. In most cases, because we don't have summertime rainfall events, that water doesn't discharge to a flowing stream. It lays in our system. It heats up. It collects nutrients, whatever else from runoff. The amount of bacteria in that water goes up and up and up and up and up. And then when we do get a discharge, either through overwatering or eventually rainfall, we're inoculating the natural water bodies with those high levels of bacteria, pathogens, and whatever else. So in existing areas, we have the illicit discharge ordinance, a very strong focus on eliminating dry weather flows. Then we move to the idea of development and redevelopment. The LID requirements will apply to remodels and redevelopment issues. So as things slowly change in even a developed community, we'll be applying LID techniques. LID also goes hand in hand to some degree with the illicit discharge idea in that one of the ways to solve a site's illicit discharge problem is to retrofit LID into parking lots, planters, and drains that already exist. So we have LID tools, we have illicit discharge tools. We can't discount public education. There is the general public education that we've talked about, TV and radio and whatnot. I should also mention that our Board of Supervisors uses a system of what we call community advisory councils. There are 13 throughout the county. Every one of these communities, though unincorporated, has a locally elected body that deals with issues specific to that community. So as we approach those bodies with our public education ideas, we expect that they will identify issues to us, such as the Palisades and what happens when it rains, so that we can then go back into our county system, because that is part of the MS4, and look at ways to retrofit our system, such as we're doing in Templeton and Santa Margarita. So we think we do get to, perhaps subtly, we get to existing community problems relative to water quality.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Shallcross.
Could you put the slide back up that had those purple arrows going in a circle? You had education, enforcement, and something else.